It's good to see everyone here this morning. Good to be able to come together to worship God. And today we're going to look at Psalms chapter 46. Psalms chapter 46 to begin with. Now, Psalms chapter 46, and we're going to be going from there over to the book of Daniel afterward. In Psalms 46 and verse 1, King David wrote, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth do change, though the mountains be shaken into the heart of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains tremble with the swelling thereof. There is a river and streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her that right early. The nations rage, and the kingdoms were moved. And he uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." I read that, and David wrote that, and many times during the reign of David, there are really bad things happening to the people of Israel. There are attacks from outside. There are rebellions within. There was all these different problems and troubles that came up during the time of King David. And so he was writing there to influence and to help and to strengthen his own people during this time, that they would remain and be faithful to God. Now we turn over to the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, there are several things we're going to look at concerning what God is for you and me. The prophet Daniel said in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 32, he says, "The Most High rules in the kingdom of men." Sometimes we don't see that in everyday life. And we think, well, with all the crime and all the problems and troubles and war and everything in the world, well, where is God? Well, he's there. He is the one that rules in the kingdoms of men. Now, we may not always see it because people don't always live according to God's will. But God is still there. This is a truth that we tend to forget sometimes in life, and it seems the world is ruled by sin and evil. And sometimes people will ask the question, well, where is God in all this evil that goes on in the world? Well, God has not turned his back upon us. He is still there for us. But it's true today as it was true in the time of Daniel. And you have to realize, the time of Daniel, the people of Israel were in captivity and slavery in Babylon, and that's where Daniel was. And so we see then that Daniel and his work was to keep the people of Israel knowing and understanding the will of God during that particular time. And so that was part of his work as a prophet of God during the Babylonian captivity. God does rule today through his son Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. And Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 says, "In old times God spoke to the people through the prophets, but in these times he has spoken to us through Christ." In other words, God speaks to us every day we live through Jesus Christ and through the Word which the Holy Spirit has revealed to us. And Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Glory and dominion. Dominion is the rule of God in our lives, in our place, and in the whole world, in the whole universe. So it's not gone away. It's still there for us, even though we may not always understand it. We may not always see it. And the first six chapters of Daniel show a clear concern of God for his people. Even while they were in Babylonian captivity, God did not abandon them. He allowed them to be punished for their sin, and a new generation was raised up during that time, because they were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years before they were allowed to come back. So very few of the people that went in were alive to go back to the land of Israel later. And so they had to depend upon their parents and in the prophets Daniel and Ezekiel lived at the same time to hear what they said about it and to follow them. What is God according to the book of Daniel? Title of the lesson today is God is. But what is He to you and me, and what was He to them? Well, first of all, in Daniel chapter 1, God is the protector of His people. Now, I'm not going to read all the first six chapters of Daniel. You can do that. But He was the protector of His people. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, and he came and took out of the kingdom of Judah and Jehoiakim the king, and also many of the noble class into captivity. Now, if you go back and read about the Babylonian captivity, it actually started in basically three stages. There was the first coming of the Babylonians. They took some of them captive. And then he came the second time a few years later, took more of them captive. And this second carrying away was the time when he took mainly the noble people, and Daniel undoubtedly was in that class of people. And so they took them back, and then the third time, when Nebuchadnezzar came back, he destroyed the kingdom of Judah, he destroyed the city of Jerusalem, he destroyed the temple, he tore it down, burned it, and looted all of the good things that were in it. And that was really the final start of the Babylonian captivity. But God did not abandon His people. Among them that were taken at this time in Daniel chapter 1 was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now we know them, the other three, better by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the four of them were separated by the king. They were specially chosen to receive a special kind of diet and a special kind of training and everything, and educate them in all the wisdom and the language of Babylon, so they would be the good servants of the king of Babylon. But Daniel and his three friends, when they came there, even they were specially chosen by the order of the king, of course God is the one that brought them to this position, they requested not to eat of the king's food, but the vegetables and other things that were eaten by the Israelites. Well, the one that was over them was a little bit skeptical, but he agreed that after a period of time he allowed this to try it. Well, it turns out that God was with them. And at the end of their time, it says they were better off and they were healthier and everything than others there. God blessed them because they were faithful to His law, even though they were in captivity. And technically they were slaves, but they were going to become officials in the Babylonian kingdom. And Daniel chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Now as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom." Now we look at that and realize that today we are in a sense captives in a world of sin. It's surrounding us everywhere we go. And everywhere that we go, if we are faithful to God, He's going to be with us, just like He was with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a world that was going to be destroyed. For them, in a sense, their world was destroyed when they were taken captive. But the world today is going to be destroyed also. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3, it says, "When they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape." So that time is going to come. We don't know when it will be, but it will be. But God will be with us if we will be faithful to Him. And those who are part of the body of Christ will not be forsaken if we are faithful to Him. That is God's promise to you and me. Colossians 1 and verse 13, it says, "The Father, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." God calls us out of the world through the gospel, And he puts us within his kingdom where he's going to take care of us for all of eternity. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. Even in the sins and the temptations we face every day, if we're trying to be faithful to God, he'll make a way of escape from the temptation and the sin that is around us. He watched over the captives then. He will do that for us. In Daniel chapter 2, God is the revealer of the future. In Daniel chapter 2, which is one of the, you might say, one of the pivotal chapters of the entire Old Testament, Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar the king had had a dream that he didn't understand. He called his soothsayers, his magicians, and all of his mind readers, so to speak, and came to him and he put this before them. I've had this dream and you need to interpret it for me. And they said, okay, tell us the dream and we'll do it. And he said, I don't remember the dream. I said, well, how can that be? We can't foretell or tell the dream, the meaning, if you don't know what it is. So they said, well, we got Daniel. Daniel came and God revealed the dream and the explanation to it to Daniel. The king's dream was of an image of a man with a head, which was a head of gold, and then breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron and feet of a mixture of iron and kind of a miry clay. And Daniel didn't understand, but God gave him the understanding. Because in this dream, there is a small stone that it says was cut out of the mountains without hands. And God, through Daniel, interpreted this dream. Each part of the body, the head of gold, the shoulders and arms of silver, and on down, represented four kingdoms that are going to come. Babylon was the first one. And then after that would be Persia. And after Persia would be Greece. And after Greece would be Rome. You can read through the book of Daniel and see how these things are talked about. But each of the body parts represented another kingdom, each which would successively destroy the other, and another would take over. And he says this is going to be in the future. And from Daniel's time, it was going to be in the next 500 or so years. But the entire image that was there was going to be destroyed by this small stone that was cut out of hands and ground into dust. And in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, Daniel 2 and verse 44, at the end of this interpretation, he says, in the days of those kings, these successive kingdoms, the days of those kings, that's the fourth kingdom, which for us is Rome, God, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The sovereignty thereof shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall reign and shall stand forever. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God that is made the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. God was going to make sure that this was done, and he did. The prediction was fulfilled, and we know that was, because in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, that's where all of these things came together, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Then a revelation of the new covenant, that no longer was there going to be just one people of God under the law of Moses that were called out from the world, but everyone would receive the call of God to be part of his new kingdom. So God revealed the future to Daniel in his day. He reveals the future to us today also. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he talks about the second coming of Christ and what's going to occur there. that those who are faithful will be taken up with Christ to spend eternity with. Excuse me, to spend eternity with Him. And those who are not His people, they would be cast. Excuse me. Cast out of the presence of God. If you look in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Of course, the Apostle Paul, the writer there, he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, "And to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of our Lord Jesus from heaven, with His mighty angels in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might." That's what God said. That's what God, through Paul the Apostle there, said is going to happen to those who reject God. In fact, in Matthew 25 and verse 41, Jesus, in that vision of the judgment that was going to come, says the evil which are on the left side of the Lord at the division, He says He will say to them, "Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels." So since God has revealed the future to us, if we are faithful to Him, He's going to take care of us. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, He says, "Seeing that these things are thus to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness?" So God is the revealer of the future. God is the Lord of fire and the physical elements. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar built a golden image there, and he commanded all of his people, when they heard the sound of the musical instruments playing, they were to bow down and worship this image that he had made. And when they didn't, the penalty was going to be cast into the fiery furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they heard the sound, they heard the musical instruments playing, but they refused to bow down to this image that Nebuchadnezzar has made, even though they were the servants of the king. But certain of the Chaldeans told the king about it. They refused to bow down. The king commanded them to be brought before him. He commanded them to worship the idol that he had made and gave them another opportunity. But notice what they said. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17. They said in Daniel 3 and verse 17, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king." That's what they told the king. And they said, even if God does not deliver us, we're not going to bow down to your idol. Now, I imagine that was probably the first time in his entire life that anybody ever said no to Nebuchadnezzar. He was the most powerful king of the whole world of his time. Nobody ever said no to him. So he became very angry. And he not only told them to be thrown into the fiery furnace, he had his servants to make it seven times hotter, even to the point that it killed the guards that were around the fiery furnace. And the three Israelites were thrown into the fiery furnace. But they began to get up and walk around, and a fourth appeared. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25, Nebuchadnezzar himself said, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the aspect of the fourth is like a son of God." And God had delivered them and his people from the burning fiery furnace and everything else that were thrown up against them. And so God had the power over the fire and everything else. So our Lord himself showed the same kind of power in Mark chapter 4. When he was in the boat with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, the storm came up and the boat was going back and forth and taking on water. And they thought it was going to sink and they were all going to die. You have to understand, Peter and Andrew, James and John made their living as fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. So they understood these storms and what they would do. So they were afraid. Jesus was asleep. They came back and woke him up. Mark chapter 4 and verse 39 says, "He awoke and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Now the apostles were amazed at this. And in Mark chapter 4 and verse 41, it says, "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who is this then that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now they probably believed that Jesus was the greatest prophet of God. And maybe they would actually say that he was the Son of God. But, you know, there is a part of them that we know even to the last, they really didn't fully believe yet. And yet he stood and commanded the sea and the wind to stop, and it obeyed. So he had that kind of power. Matthew 28 and verse 18, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he says there, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." Thank you. So he has all power and all authority from that time on until our time and forever. And so he still has that kind of power. It hasn't gone away. And that kind of power is going to be used on our behalf if we're following him. God is the humbler of the proud. Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar, we keep coming back to him, to the book of Daniel. He saw another vision in a dream. This time there was a large tree, and large enough that the birds could make their nests in it. And it was a large tree to give shade for those who were under it. And one came down from heaven and cut it down. And he didn't understand the nature of that. Well, Daniel was sent again to tell him the interpretation. The great tree represented Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. He was a very proud man. He did not give God the glory. In fact, there was a story one time where Nebuchadnezzar, in building the city of Babylon, on every single brick that was used to build the city of Babylon, was stamped the symbol of Nebuchadnezzar, called him the great king. That's how he looked upon himself. But God made the king to go insane, I guess you would call it, for a period of time. It says for seven times. We don't know exactly whether it was 7 years or some specific period of time, but he was going to leave the throne. He was going to have to go out and eat grass like the animals. And he was covered with sweat and the dew of the ground. And this was to show him who was truly the true and great God. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar after this time came back to himself and understood. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar said, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the King of heaven, for all his works are truth and his ways justice, and those that walk in his pride he is able to abase. That's Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. God is still the one that humbles the proud. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." In Acts chapter 12, God destroyed King Herod because he accepted the praise, and the people said, "The voice of a God and not of a man." The Bible says God afflicted him with worms, and he was eaten and died because he did not give God the glory. What about those who exalt themselves today? Matthew 23 and verse 12, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled. Whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted." 1 Corinthians 1:19 says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will bring to naught." In other words, we cannot stand with God by God's wisdom. No matter how much we think we know, if we have understood, God's is still greater. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." We have to understand anyone who exalts himself before God is going to be brought down. God is the avenger of his own honor. Daniel chapter 5. After Nebuchadnezzar died, his grandson Belshazzar became the king. He called together all of his noblemen and all of these people and gave a drunken feast for them. And in doing so, he took the gold and silver vessels out from the temple that were in Jerusalem. And he was using them to drink their wine from and praise the idol gods of gold and silver and brass. And so during this drunken feast, there was a hand that appeared and was writing on the plaster of the wall. And you can only imagine what that must have done to those who saw this. In fact, the Bible says of Belshazzar that his knees smote back and forth against each other. We can only imagine the terror in his heart. Well, what did he do? Well, he called Daniel. It's interesting how many times that these evil people called upon Daniel, knowing that he was a servant of the true God, and he would tell them what was happening. The meaning of Belshazzar's the writing on the wall was that his king, the days of his kingdom was numbered. It was going to be destroyed. He was going to be killed, and the Medes and the Persians would conquer his kingdom. And that very night it came to pass. The Medes and the Persian army came into the city, took it over, destroyed the things of Belshazzar, and killed him. But God delivered them. In fact, God fixed it where Daniel would still be in his position that he had had before. He became the third ruler in the kingdom of Persia, as he had been under the kingdom of Babylon. Men think that they are getting away with changing God's word in ridiculing those who believe in God and rejecting Christ as our Lord and Savior. But it's not going to happen that way. God's will is going to be done. In Romans 14 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For we must all stand before the judgment seat of God." Belshazzar had his time in this life to stand before the judgment seat of God. He will have another one at the end. He says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess." Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment." So there will be a day of judgment for us. If we are in Christ, he is going to be our advocate, our help, and he will take our place and plead to God the Father for us, even though we are sinners, if we'll follow him. And God will forgive and give us eternal life. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, Jesus tells of that final time of the judgment. And if we're faithful to God, we'll go home to be with him for all of eternity. So God is the avenger of his own honor. It's going to be upheld because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. God is, Daniel chapter 6, God is the tamer of wild beasts. This is probably the best known story from the book of Daniel. Daniel, or the other servants of the king, came. They were against Daniel, who was actually over them and next in power to the king himself. And they came to the king and said, "We want you to make a requirement, a judgment from the king, a decree from the king, that no one can bow and pray to anybody else but you for the next 30 days. And they knew what kind of man Daniel was. They knew that Darius the king would hear him, and he did. So he made that decree. And the penalty for bowing down to anybody else but the king and praying was to be cast into the lion's den. And Daniel, of course, was a servant of the true God. He refused to pray to the king, who was a man just like himself. And so the evil men took that to the king, and they told him that Daniel had prayed to the true God. He went back to his house. He opened up the shutters of his room, which was his custom. He bowed and prayed toward Jerusalem, which the law of Moses required. And they knew that he would do that. So they came and they told the king, and he ordered Daniel to be taken and to be thrown into the lion's den. And he passed a night without sleep because he was afraid of what was going to happen to Daniel. He came to the lion's den the next morning, the king did. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 20, he cried out and said, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God able to deliver you from the lions?" Imagine he was not really confident that was going to happen, but it did. And of course, Daniel, God stayed the mouths of the lions and brought him out. And he was even greater man in the kingdom than he was before. And the evil man that had hatched this idea, they were thrown in with their families. And the lions devoured and killed all of them. God had the power to deliver Daniel from the den of the lions. Today he has power over everything that was around us, the evil that is there. Now he doesn't say that we'll never suffer and we won't have persecution, we won't have difficulty. But he says he will be with us through that. God was with Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den. He didn't take the lions out of the way. He simply fixed it for Daniel that he would get out alive. It is the absolute power of God over this world, even though, again, people say, well, where is God in all the problems and troubles and difficulties of life? He's still there. He's still there for you and me. In Psalms 19 and verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." It's still there, and it will be until the time when God decides it's not going to be there. God is the protector of his people, the revealer of the future. He is the Lord of the physical elements in which we live. He is the humbler of the proud, the avenger of his honor, the tamer of wild beasts. Now we look at that and realize it's not just 500 years before Christ came when Daniel was there. It's as true today as it ever has been. But more than that, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "He is the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." The Holy Spirit dwells in us because we believe and obey the gospel of Christ. That gives us the promise from God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we're going to be able to spend eternity with Him. But we have to make a decision. We're going to follow Him. We have to decide that we're going to follow and believe and obey Him each day of our life, and He will be with us all along the way. It says in Revelation, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." This morning, if you need to come, or won't you do so as now as we stand and as we sing.